paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chip.
The show. Alvin. We'll get to Will Anderson on NFL Network here in a little bit. Just got this quote tweet from Art about Alex Bregman. His replacement, Isak Paredes, hit a game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth. So, at least last night, you can feel pretty good now. Bregman's gotten off to a great start in Boston. Just pay attention to Kyle Tucker. He hasn't hit the ball well over the last 15 games, so he has cooled down quite a bit for the Cubs after his blazing start. We don't do the Tucker trade tracker very much anymore, but maybe we will bring it back next week. It's hard to do it when with Wes Neske not pitching because...
Yeah, it's incomplete.
Yes, it's incomplete, and it's a little tough to go, oh yeah, this guy's got an elbow problem. He may not pitch for a while, so it's hard to do the tracker. But just to lay it out there, Tucker... cooled down, so maybe we feel better, particularly when Isak hits a home run last night to win the game. Well, Alex Bregman, known for slow starts, he's avoided that in Boston, and he better be thankful of that because they would have turned on him pretty quickly, but that's not an issue for him, at least so far. And apparently, it's because the Red Sox fixed him. He was developing bad habits that he couldn't recognize, and things like loading his hands too late or too fast, other things that non-baseball people wouldn't recognize, but if you are a baseball nerd, you would take notice of, like moving his hands as the ball left the pitcher's hand made him a little bit vulnerable. These are all things Bregman was talking about. And he didn't have the sort of bat velocity to make up for it. So he had bad habits, and his bat velocity could not compensate. And apparently the Red Sox have fixed that. Now, Bregman was a guy who always tweaked his swing. We hear about it all the time. And it comes from the fact that he would start slow. So we would hear that Bregman did this or Bregman did that to try to get going. Well, according to him, the Red Sox did some things to help him start fast. And, of course, that leads to the conversations on Twitter about how the Astros hitting coaches need to be fired, right? Those guys don't know what they're doing. They're the problem. Jeremy Peña would say, hey, going pretty good right now. Maybe they're not. So, Bregman got. Do I believe that Bregman just simply got to Boston to fix things? The evidence says, at least early on, that they found some ways to get him going, and it's led to good results. So, Snitker and the other guy that I don't know your name, beat it. I don't even know your name, but you got to go.
Cintron?
Is that who it is who needs to get fired?
The hitting coach?
Snitker and Cintron. Everybody goes, we're not good enough here anymore. Yeah, Cintron always catches it for the hitting.
Yeah, I do wonder, is this like the inverse of the Astros getting any old pitcher and just goes, hey, stop throwing this pitch, throw this pitch more. And then they immediately drop their ERA in half. Is this like the flip side? Is this the bad side of the deal that their hitting coaches are like, hey, listen, just get up there, take some hacks, you know, just stand in there, all right? But on the pitching side, they actually can, like, with a fresh set of eyes, just be like, hey, Yusei Kikuchi, you know what would make you a lot of money? Just keep throwing this pitch.
Well, Hunter Brown, you want to save what appears to be a career on the brink? Find that two-seamer. Throw that sinker. Do it.
And just boom.
Look at you. There's no easy fix like that for the batters, apparently.
Yeah. Or if it, or what if it's just like a, listen, am I going to sit here and tell Alex Bregman to, like, hey, your hands are late?
You think they don't want to instruct? Hey, this guy was an MVP candidate. I can't tell him what to do.
We hear it with Altuve, where it's like, hey, listen, you just got to go. You're going to kind of have to live with that with Altuve. Like him swinging at a terrible pitch.
Because of what he's done, you just have to let him go.
Yeah. It's like, hey, that's just, you don't want to try to constrain him because then you lose the good stuff.
And like Bregman's got 2 World Series rings and he's been a great player here, so you don't tell him anything. But once he gets to Boston.
Or it's just like, hey, he's smart. I'm sure he figured it out.
And then when he gets to Boston, they're like, didn't win a World Series for us. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Do this. It'll work.
We spent $40 million on you this year, all right? Yeah.
Get it. I know you got that opt-out thing, but for this year, we own you.
Yeah.
Do this.
Swing however you want if you opt out.
Yeah. But when you're with us, take our advice. Wow, that'd be funny if the Astro hitting coaches were so afraid of the batters, they never told them anything that would help them. Hey, man.
You're already so good. What am
I going to tell you that you don't know?
Meanwhile, they're like, all right, so Jeremy Pena, here's what you said.
Well,
Jake Meyers. Here's
Jeremy Pena.
Let's fix you, Jake
Are
Meyers.
Are you sure they would talk to Jeremy Pena that way? He is a World Series MVP.
That is true.
Could they get into Jeremy Pena and tell him what he should or shouldn't do? Jeremy, just lift all the weights you want, then we'll see what happens.
Eventually, you'll start hitting these ground balls for home runs.
You're stronger. Don't worry about it. Jake Meyers definitely has to take instruction.
Yeah, Jake Meyers, Chaz McCormick. These aren't exactly success stories. Oh, Meyers.
Meyers this year.
This year.
Finally listen to Snitkers and Cintron and look what we got.
First baseman, they're just like, do whatever you want. We don't.
Lost causes.
Yeah, we're not talking to the first baseman.
Look, man, the guy would rather do a bat flip than listen to anything we have to say anyway. So go on, Singleton.
Whether it's Singleton, Abreu, Walker.
Too busy tying his beard. Yeah, that chin hair. Look, man, just go up there. Your money's guaranteed. What do you want from us?
Signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's Bagwell's guy. Bagwell will work with him. Leave us alone. But for the Red Sox, they apparently, if we are to believe this story, have fixed Alex Bregman and all his problems that pop up occasionally.
Finally. About time someone fixed Alex Bregman.
Yeah, he was broken. It is bothersome that he's gotten off to a good start, though. Jokes aside, I don't want to wish ill will on Bregman. Mm-hmm. But at least be consistent with your poor starts. Don't go someplace else and become a good early season hitter.
What if he's a bad late season hitter?
If he stinks in the playoffs, cool.
Yeah, what if he's like, hey, listen, I have to have the bad 5 weeks somewhere.
He's the inverse of Jalen Green, where Jalen Green has the great month. At some point somewhere, I have to have a terrible month. And maybe it comes in September and October.
Yeah, he's like, okay, all right, I won't do it. Won't do it in April this time.
Yeah, get you guys all excited.
But it's coming.
Yeah. What would you rather have, Astro fans who are complaining about my great start? Would you rather have me stink early or stink late? What did it feel like when I was – actually, you look at Bregman's numbers. He wasn't that great in playoffs, depending on the series. No. He's not Kyle Tucker level, but
– yeah. Kyle Tucker doing the playoffs.
No. Kyle Tucker said, no, I won't.
That's when you know the Kyle Tucker tracker I've unofficially ceded defeat is when I just start saying do it in the playoffs.
It is the I've lost the argument fallback.
Yeah.
Do it when it matters is what we will say.
I've had that in my back pocket since we started doing the segment. I was like, if in like July this really starts getting rough, do it in the playoffs, which helps because the Cubs might not even make the playoffs.
And then you can say you weren't even good enough to get the Cubs to the playoffs.
Exactly.
500 million.
You know how it goes. You know how it goes.
There's always a way to win these. We're going to give you $400 million, $500 million. Couldn't even get to the playoffs.
Are you ready? Are you ready to have someone who, even after last year, will still criticize James Franklin for not winning the big one despite making the semifinals? Are you built for the mental gymnastics? I'll do to say that, still think we won the trade.
Am I ready? I look at that guy in the mirror. I see that James Franklin guy in the mirror. The big one, whatever, got beat by Notre Dame in the semifinal. The big one.
Yeah, yeah. Arguments in bad faith. I'm a college football fan. I was born in this.
Yeah.
I was raised by this.
Yeah. Moving the goalpost? What do you think you're talking to?
Push those over.
Yeah. Drew Aller. Puh. Oh, you won a couple playoff games. Did they win two? They beat SMU. Did they beat someone else?
Or yeah. Okay. Yeah, they beat Boise. How could you forget?
Two not real Power Four schools. Yeah. Whatever.
James Franklin got the monkey off his back.
Yeah. Thanks to Kevin Jennings throwing three ridiculous interceptions in the first half. Congratulations. And then Boise, that people thought didn't even belong. No, our agenda still stands. He saw a real Power Four team and blew it. Come on. And see, and seen. That's how you get there.
Yeah, boom. Kyle Tucker, are you ready for this noise?
I just want to point out how ridiculous it is, because all last year I was saying Boise and SMU belong because they earned it. But when it comes to James Franklin, trash teams. Whatever.
Please.
Beat Ohio State. Oh, you mean the national champions? Yeah.
Beat them.
Beat them, and then we'll have a conversation. So don't worry. If no matter what Kyle Tucker does the rest of the way, Astros win the trade. You see what Paredes did last night? Win.
Boom. That's, you know what? To me, that's one war right there. That was one win they wouldn't have had.
Exactly. And I did see someone tweet out, whether they're right or wrong, I'm not looking it up, that Paredes' war combined with, I forgot who it was, higher than Kyle Tucker's.
Oh, combined.
I think that's what. Or maybe so. Individually. I don't remember.
Okay, okay.
Somehow, some way. I think it was individually. It was another one of the guys in the trade. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put a false stat out there.
Yeah.
But I did see
Cam
that.
Cam Smith.
But either way, Astros so far, at least even right now, I would say.
Haven't lost the trade.
No, and that's all we're looking for.
I haven't resorted to do it in the playoffs.
We want to break even, and even if it trends the Cubs away, if they don't re-sign him, a definite win. If the Dodgers come in and steal Kyle Tucker, it's a win for us. That's what we're looking for. All right, we'll play the one at Will Anderson sound when we come back, and then we'll also do our playoff scapegoat rankings, because a number one seed gets eliminated, a two seed is well on their way to getting eliminated, and our favorite, maybe not our favorite, but the internet's favorite whipping boy or grown man, Russell Westbrook's at it again. Ooh, some of those threes last night. If you watched that game, was it two air balls on corner threes? Rough one for us. So after shooting like 40% from three in series one against the Clippers, he's reverted back, regression to the mean. We're seeing Russ be the guy where we're leaving you open for a reason. Go ahead and take those shots. So we'll get into that in a little bit as well. But first, Will Anderson on NFL Network when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So Will Anderson was on NFL Network yesterday. We're going to get more and more sound from not just the rookies, but established players as we get closer and closer to, you know, OTAs, mini camps. They'll be made available. And I guess it's hard for a defensive end to be the face of the franchise, because if a defensive end's a face of your franchise, how good are you really? But Will Anderson is likely the epitome of what D'Amico Ryans wants as a player. He talks a lot about the culture and what he wants to bring, how he wants to be a leader. But he certainly does have some individual stats. And, of course, if he plays well, that means it's not a guarantee, but it certainly helps the team be better. So he was on the NFL Network, and he was asked about his goal. What's the number for sacks for him? And this was his response.
Are you one of those guys who has a number in your head, a sack total you want to get to? What's that number if you've got one?
It's double digits. It's double digits. It doesn't matter what double digit number is, just double digits, man. And, you know, I've been able just to take it one game at a time and take it one play at a time. And I have to give a huge shout out to Daniil, man. He's been a double digit guy, sack guy, since he's been in the league. And to see his process and to see, you know, he doesn't worry about those things. He's just like, bro, I'm just going out there and playing. I think that's been able to help me and calm me down. And, you know, I always tell people, we're like fire and ice. When I look at Daniil, my fire just Usai, because he just brings that presence. Like, it's going to be okay, bro. You're going to get it. So, just lucky to have him and blessed to have him on the team.
He had 11 last year in only 14 games. So, he certainly should be a guy we expect to get there. And that draft, of course, it'll be remembered fondly as the one that set the Texans on the right course. It'll be in a very expensive draft in the future, but right now, not that much of a concern. It is just a clear hit with Will Anderson. You hope that we get CJ from 2023, and then we're talking about one of the best drafts, and we're only talking about two players of all time. If you just talk about guys who can impact the franchise the way those two have so far. So Will Anderson on NFL Network, and as I said, it's May, mid-May, but I guess it's always football season, as illustrated by the NFL continuing to give us drips and drabs for the schedule, and then the official schedule release will happen a little bit later today. Sean, through his sources, and by sources I mean simply looking at Twitter, told us that week three, the Texans face the Jags. We don't know who they will see week one, if that's a home game or a road game, but
week two, have no idea.
No idea.
But week three,
we do know a trip to Jacksonville is in the offing for the Texans, and anyone who wants to make that trip to Florida, more power to you.
According to the Texans aggregator that I saw aggregating the reporting.
Did we do this last year? No, that was the morning show who thought they had all 17 games, and it turns out that guy had no real knowledge and nothing was right. So at least we only have – at least we're only out in the land for one game.
Week three. That's I'm going to be locked in on what week three is.
And if we're wrong, so be it.
Then I have to cancel my flight to Jacksonville.
Yeah, did you already get on,
get
with United and make sure you had a trip planned out?
Exactly.
So you
can't wait.
So you're going to be off from the show Thursday, Friday, I imagine.
Yeah.
You want a 4-day weekend in Jacksonville.
Yep, have to go to Universal.
You're going to drink some butter beer?
With
the Harry Potter thing?
Yep, going to do the Fast and Furious ride.
Of course. Oh, well, of course. What am I saying? I should have mentioned that first. I know who I'm talking to. How did I make that mistake?
Yeah. Do they have? I'll be honest. I don't know what's all there. I know Harry Potter and Fast and Furious, Transformers. Right.
There it is.
All right. That's all I need.
You got stuff. You got stuff to do.
That's all I need. Is it more grown up than Disney World, or is that just me?
Well, Disney World is an entire world where you have the kids part of it, and you also have the adults where they have bars and stuff like that. So I would say Disney World is more grown up than all the other places.
Okay.
Because you can stroll out of that main park and then have a time. They have acres and acres of stuff to do that's just strictly for adults.
Is it like you can just go to, I don't know, like the Star Wars Cantina and just chill?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know what park that's in because – you can get the, I don't want to insult them, but I'm just going to call it because I don't know the name, the Universal Pass for Disney World, where you can just go to everything, or you can just pick a park. They're like multiple, so they're separate admissions for different parks unless you buy the all-encompassing one. If you want to do that, if you want to spend thousands of dollars.
They should have like FX World where it's all the it's all the FX originals. You can just hang out with Justify. Sons of Anarchy.
Handmaid's Tale is a Hulu thing, right? Or is that
they're in.
FX? Yeah,
that's bring the park,
Hulu FX
in.
As well?
Yeah. Paradise.
well, Epcot is pretty much a dome. You might as well make that paradise. What about that? I don't remember the name. The Mormon show with Andrew Garfield where he's investigating a murder. You want to spend time in that world on FX?
Let's do it.
Sure, it's great.
I guess I've just kind of made Westworld.
Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, and also Westworld where it's just think of a theme. We got a park for it. You can be fully immersed in whatever park we can think of.
I welcome the opportunity not to go but to watch you there. Just send texts and pictures of you enjoying under the banner of Heaven World where Andrew Garfield has to solve a Mormon murder.
they have like the act, you know, the actors that are playing, they're dressed up, you know, normally as like whatever, Cinderella or whatever.
Yeah, what's
your
character's name?
They're just dressed up as Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, who are you? Oh, I'm Jeb Pyre from Under the Banner of Heaven. What? Oh, you know Andrew Garfield's character in that show? That it was good, but not a lot of people watched? I'm that guy. You want to take a picture? Why not?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. You've got that drab pea green suit on? Sure, I'll take a picture with you. Worst worlds ever for a person to visit. That should be a bit. I guess we're doing it right now. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the O.J. Simpson trial.
No.
That world.
You want to take a picture of Christopher Darden? Not even Christopher Darden. The guy playing Christopher Darden?
But not the actor playing Christopher Darden.
No, a guy playing Courtney B. Vance who played Christopher Darden. And, of course, you're going to watch a guy put a skull cap on because he's got to be bald. Yeah, I'm not visiting that world. Let's get to this before we go.
Yeah, let's get to something else.
Yeah.
Because I'll just keep naming shows. Yeah,
we will never get out of it if I let you keep going, which I don't mind, but it's not just a show for me, although sometimes I wish it was. Okay, let's get to this. Let's get to our playoff skate goal rankings. Normally we play the sounder before the segment right before the segment begins, but hey, we had to get to worst worlds you could ever visit first. So let's get to our playoff scapegoats.
Every team needs someone to point to when, well, things go wrong.
I'm just a patsy.
Someone to take the blame when no one else will.
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
It's time for Del Olalea to decide who is this team's scapegoat.
Yeah, we're all trying to find the guy who did this.
So the Cavs go down to the Pacers, and it's very difficult for me to put this guy on the list because of how great he was up until Game 4. Donovan Mitchell was a consistent playoff riser, is a term people are using now, until that first half of Game 4 in a game he didn't finish. But he was healthy enough to play in that first half, and his team was down 80-39. Now, that's an all-encompassing failure, but it's scapegoat time. Now, I could put it on Darius Garland, but I don't expect what I expect from Donovan Mitchell from Darius Garland. He is maybe a good two on a really good team. Not even sure about that. So when you're the top player on the best team record-wise in the East, at some point, considering the accolades, you got to lead your team past the second round of the playoffs. So this is a reluctant addition to the list, but someone's got to take the heat. And Darius Garland was not a good enough player to take the heat. Max Strus was awful, and his tweet was terrible, but he's not a good enough player.
Yeah.
So
Strus is down ballot, though.
Yeah.
Just for the shenanigans.
Yes. But if I had to put a guy from the Cavs on the list, it has to fall on Donovan Mitchell because of his past performances of not getting his team past the second round. He is a guy who would all fall on. He's the franchise cornerstone right now, and the Cavs have a disappointing exit from the 2025 playoffs. And the author of their doom is right on my television right now, Tyrese Haliburton, once called most overrated player in basketball, which simply just meant we don't like this guy, so we're going to vote him most overrated. He's back in his second consecutive Eastern Conference final. So he will avoid that. Maybe if we do our playoff risers thing this week, he might go on it. Number two, the combo of Michael Porter Jr. and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, really good first round, demonstratively bad the last couple games that the Nuggets have lost. The Thunder learned. Actually, you know what? They employed the same thing they employed against the Mavs last year, where, hey, Derrick Jones Jr., P.J. Washington, go ahead and shoot the ball. Unfortunately for them, those two knocked down shots at a rate they don't ever knock those shots down, and it cost them a series. This one, Russ isn't taking the moment or rising to the occasion. Those threes last night were not even close. I was watching that game on a second screen, and I still almost wanted to close my laptop because of the cringe factor of how bad he was shooting those shots. I felt bad. It wasn't like laughing at him. It was cringe for me. I don't even like to say cringe. It's not a word I like to use. But that's what I felt watching him take those threes. And miss. Even before they left his hand, I was like, oh, no. And then went like the opposite of Jokic's shot to tie the game. I was like, I can't believe he just made that. the wonder of him making that shot. I felt the exact opposite feeling when Russ was missing those threes by like 4 feet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't dislike Russ, but I felt
neither do
none,
I.
I felt none of that. I just thought it was hilarious.
Of course,
because they're just so, like he does things on a basketball court. Like the ball will go places it never goes after his shots. Like the.
Yeah, the bounces are just odd, even when it hits the rim.
Again, he just shoots it so much differently than everyone else.
It's difficult for an offensive rebound to judge where the ball is going to go. You just, like, you're in a spot where you think, oh, I'm playing, okay, shoots it from the wing, okay, maybe this is where the ball is going to go. It never goes where you think it's going to go.
Yeah, we've all seen misses on an NBA court before, but, like, his misses just always look different.
Yes. And, once again, as with Donovan Mitchell, I struggle to put Michael Porter Jr. on the list because he's dealing with the awful shoulder injury, and unless he gets injections, he's not really a viable player.
Yeah.
He's going out there because his team doesn't have a lot of guys, but because of the salary he's making, people don't offer any grace, so why would we?
No, it was pointed out I think after the game that he and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander make the exact same amount of money this season. That's pretty tough.
And he was never the player that Shai was, just never was going to be the case. It's to another level now where you watch Shai knock down what you might say is the dagger three to make it 106-100. Michael Porter Jr. has missed big threes over the last couple games, and he's just not right. And and it's injury-related, but someone's going to catch it from a fan base who looks at their salary distribution and goes, this guy's making so much money, he's not living up to it. So if you're out there, people are going to criticize you, so he goes on the list. But another one where I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand why.
With a heavy heart.
Wow. Maybe not that heavy, but I get it. I get why he's struggling. And then this one is not a heavy heart at all. Maybe the most joyous pick so far, Jaylen Brown. He is one of the highest paid players in basketball. In fact, maybe second highest behind Tatum.
When he signed his deal,
he was the highest paid player in basketball. Just the matter of being an all-NBA player and getting a Supermax and all that stuff. And with the cap rise, and Jaylen Brown at one point was the highest paid player in basketball. He has not lived up to that. And he's another guy who's banged up. He's got a knee problem that's bothered him throughout the year. But that left hand, that handle's very loose again. It actually kind of led to the Jason Tatum injury where he fumbled a basketball. Jason Tatum tried to recover. And then, unfortunately for the Celtics and Tatum, his Achilles ruptured. And now he's got to be on the mend for the better part of the next year plus. Jaylen Brown has a chance to get off this list. He's got to lead a somewhat historic comeback. I don't think he's getting off the list. I don't think he's leading that comeback.
Does he have to actually lead the comeback?
No.
He has to have a good game.
I think he has to respond with a good game. He doesn't have to lead the comeback. It's very difficult. We know 3-1 is hard unless Doc Rivers is on the other side. But play better. Play well. Because I don't want to go full Lance. Lance this morning was saying, if they don't come back from 3-1, Jaylen Brown has to be blamed. Jaylen Brown's going to get plenty of blame anyway. I don't think a 3-1 comeback needs to happen. I just think you have to play at a level that represents, hey, people were at one point making you the 1B to Tatum's 1A. You're clearly a number 2. Play like a number 2 who has to be elevated.
Play like the finals MVP.
Yeah, you did that less than a year ago. Can you reach that level again to help the Celtics at least extend the series? I don't think they're winning it. It's a tough road. We'll see how emotionally the Celtics are. As you might imagine, they were very down even before the official Jason Tatum news. Do they got anything left in the tank as the Knicks are very close to the biggest moment in New York basketball history since the late 90s? Knicks and Pacers. Looks like it's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, and number 4, I didn't put it on the list. Playoff Jimmy. If he doesn't respond,
he's on watch.
I just took $100+ million from you. Watch robbery. I just convinced you to pay me $100+ million over the next two seasons. Robbery.
He needs to. What was game? I forgot if game 2 or game 3 was the good Jimmy game. He needs to get back to that. He needs to at least get close to that. Because if he throws up another stinker like game 4, he is 100% on this list the next time we do it.
You cannot continue to convince or trick people into thinking, oh, I just played basketball the right way. Everyone saw you in game four. That is not the right way if it includes passing balls to Gary Payton Jr. and Pods, who was struggling mightily. You got to be the best player on the court, or at least the best warrior. You aren't even the best warrior. Kuminga's taking that over. You got to be the best warrior for them to have a shot. I think as long as he can't switch on to Dante DiVincenzo, we're going to get a lot of what we saw in game four. Because I'll say it again, the quiet part that someone or some people don't like to acknowledge, I don't think he's got it in him anymore to do that. Once a week, maybe he can provide a game three performance. Not over the course of a series when they need him most.
That's why he was great as a number two when they had Steph.
Yeah, because he could fill in with his 20 points, his free throw grifting, and then maybe explode because he gets the line more for about 30 points while Steph is going for 35 and a win. Being the number one option, I talk about all the time how people compare players and they go, well, these players are the same guy, or maybe one's better. Well, this guy's the third option on the team where he doesn't get much attention. The other guy's the number one where game plans are built around him. Jimmy's now has the game plan built around him. Can he respond? I'm going to say no, but he's got an opportunity. So we'll see what happens. That's our playoff scapegoat ranking for the day. We got a couple more seconds to go before we're done for the day. Sean and I, till noon, if you want to call in, you can. 713-780-3776. Sean, I'm going to give you some audio that I don't want you to listen to. Just want you to play. Now, you're going to be able to see the video because it's a Twitter video. We're going to play it, and I'm just going to have you have this question in your head before you even have to play it. How weird of a hobby is it for a woman to have before you decide not to date her? Or for anyone? It doesn't have to be a woman, but in this case, it's a woman in question. You guys can think about that question. How weird would your potential significant other's hobby have to be for you to stop dating them? And then we'll play the audio when we come back. But first, let's talk about something that's not weird at all. Getting great plumbing, and that's why you go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. No matter what the issue is, they're going to be there for you. So, big job, small job, you just know it's a job you can't handle, and that's why you call them, Aqueduct Plumbing. You go to the website, AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, and you can call them at 281-488-6238 to find that number if you don't catch it as I say it. So once you go there, you can take a look at their handy drop-down menu and see all the services they provide, and also look at the great reviews they've been given. And you know that they show you what they're all about, from the repiping and what bad pipes can mean to your home, and also the first-class contractors that they use to get great jobs done for you. So it could be a remodel. It could be a plumbing fixture that needs some work. Maybe it's a big job like new construction. Gas piping, reroutes is all there for you at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. So Billy Brown and the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company are there for you to do a great job no matter what the issue is. I know a water leak or simply bad or dirty water can affect you in ways you don't want to imagine. Be preventative. Have them check it out. Go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So you never really know what's real or what's not, what's scripted television or what's not. It feels like this is coming from a reality show. Question is, was this a reality show where the writers got involved and wrote something and hired actors to portray it? I don't know, but the clip is out there. It's relatively old, just looking how it's shot. Looks like it's not current HD, but good enough. So Sean's going to play the clip. I've already made my decision about this because I've heard it already. Sean has not. So the question is more for you guys and Sean. Is this a step too far? Is this hobby too weird for you to date someone? Here it is.
I've been funeral tracking for almost 6 years. Funeral tracking is a way of procuring vintage clothes for free by searching the obituaries in the paper, then finding the right moment to approach the family and ask if they would be willing to donate their clothes to me in exchange for clearing them out of their house.
Hi, my name is Lydia, and I recently heard about your mother's passing, and I was here to offer a service to you. And all that I ask for in return are a few key pieces from her wardrobe. I'm so passionate about vintage fashion, I would love to give her pieces a second life. I actually adore...
You want my dead mom's clothes?
That is from a show called Extreme Cheapskates. It's from on TLC, as you might have guessed. Sean, if a woman you were dating and you liked, let's say, he's laughing in there, let's say for a month or two. So you've established some groundwork. You're like, you know what? I like this woman. You found out, she just dropped this on you, that she was a funeral tracker. And you go, hey, what's that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, oh, what does that mean?
For a hobby, I check obituaries to see if I can procure vintage clothing in exchange for cleaning out the clothing at someone's home. And I approach people, cold calling them at their homes, pretty much, and saying, hey, I can do this for you as long as you give me some of the pieces. Would that be, all right, I'm out? Or you're like, you know what? She's inventive.
I mean, okay, so as a hobby, this is crazy.
It's nuts.
I will say she's on the right track by saying that I provide a service for people who are grieving. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. If she could position this into a way where this is
a real business,
a business or a side hustle, or even volunteer work for, you know, Salvation Army or a secondhand Goodwill, whatever. Then now I can wrap my head around it. But doing this for like fun? No. Absolutely. Like, I don't want to, because you know what happens then? Because this is a hobby that two people can do. It's like, hey, you should come along. And I don't want to have to look that man in the face in that video who says, wait, you want my dead mom's clothes?
Can you replay that guy's reaction? Because I don't know if he's in on it. If he's not, he's a great actor.
I actually adore...
You want my dead mom's clothes?
You see his face, but the voice, the warble in his voice is spectacular if it's not real. Do you want to be the guy standing behind her or the one who rang the doorbell so she can give her spiel? Do you want to be in that relationship?
I wouldn't be in the car. The closest I want to be. I'll be in the car with my face turned the other way.
Not even looking as this is going on. I got to say.
Or you know... The actual answer, though, shout to the Hall of Famer, John Granato.
Okay. What does she look like?
There you go.
Well, you've seen what this woman looks like. No, not a chance.
Not her.
You don't have that in your facilities. You don't have the facilities, big man. No. If you think you are going to get me to do that.
You're not getting that shot off on this level,
no,
right?
No, I mean, you're not Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
If Florence Pugh was doing it, Sean would be easy. There. Yeah. She could do much worse.
I'd be like, you get this side of the street, I get the other side of the street.
She didn't have to use the context of, I would help clean out your home. She just come up and go, hey, can I have some of your dead mom's clothes? It could be that straightforward and Sean would be there. Boom. But for this woman, nah. It is a classic case of, are you worth it? I would say.
How does she know what size these clothes are?
I don't know. Maybe she sews?
Okay. She makes alterations.
Yeah, maybe she makes alterations.
That's what it has to be, the hobby, though, is hobby alterations. Hobby, yeah. I'm a sewer. Seamstress.
I know TLC has had some things, but this one just struck me as, like, how deep into a relationship would you have to be in to learn this fact about someone before you're like, oh, you know what? Sure, I'm bothered by it, but she's a great girl. She's great. I think you make a great point.
Searching obituaries.
It's so morbid. It's ghoulish is what it is. For vintage clothing that you might want to use?
That's the thing. If this was like the Goodwill, like this is the street work team, this is how they, how they
get
the
that
edge,
part of it.
Then it's like, okay, this is at least for something. But this isn't just like, I want to wear clothes that your dead mom wore.
She is an individual looking to find great deals because of death.
I'm going to sit in there. I guess, okay. I guess what she does is she takes all the clothes.
Yeah.
Because she has to frame it as cleaning out the closet.
Exactly.
But all you know is she's going to do is pick out the clothes and go, nah.
Yeah, no. Where do the clothes she doesn't like, want go? Does she just toss them?
That's the thing. That's where it's like, those clothes need to
find their way to Goodwill.
Something.
She can't just
toss
them.
For me to buy in. Yeah. For me to buy. Otherwise, yeah, you're a freak that belongs on TLC.
And she wound up on TLC. So as we talk about sports all the time, it's a lot about, are you worth it? Is this player worth it to bring on the headache?
No.
That woman in Sean's eyes, not worth it.
No. Not quite Antonio Brown, but
no.
I don't know.
I would be the one quitting on her mid-game. Sorry, I'm out. Bye-bye. What, why are you leaving? You know I'm leaving.
I'm calling an Uber from this guy's house, so I don't have to watch.
You got to go.
We adore.
You want my dead mom's clothes?
Listen to his voice. Credit to that man. If he's an actor. If he's not, I get why he sounded like that. Do we make that a sign-off sound?
You're one step ahead.
I knew you were going to do it. We might have to replace Jason Tatum until he's back playing.
Yeah, out of respect.
Out of respect for the one-time champion who has a long road back. Okay, we got one more segment to go. I'm with Sean. That's a step too far for any hobby for me. Woof. Good luck to whoever decided that woman was the one for them. Maybe she found her mate. And that person is right along with her, driving her, dumping off the clothes she doesn't want to Goodwill or otherwise. So be it. All right. One more second, as I said. 713-780-3776. If you want in, we'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So we revealed through Sean's Twitter searching who the Texans are going to play in week three, the Jags in Jacksonville. Well, we have their week one opponent. A lot of this you can find at Nerding NFL if you are someone who can't possibly wait for tonight when the full schedule is out. I'm sure the Texans will have some release video, or at least a graphic that they'll put out there from their official account. Right now, week one in L.A. against the Rams. So Stafford and Stroud, Kaylee versus McVay. At least Kaylee going back to L.A. under his mentor. He'll see his mentor in week one. We'll see the Texans and their new-look offense against a team who was maybe one botched offensive line protection away from going to the NFC title game. The Rams were very close to beating the Eagles in Philly. And then week two, it's home to the Bucs. So two of the first three games for the Texans are on the road. Their first home game is that week two matchup against the Bucs. And special one for you guys, if you care about primetime, Monday Night Football. That's what it's supposed to be. Texans, Bucs, Monday Night Football. So they'll get a primetime game very early. I don't know how many they'll get right now, but the thought of the Texans being pulled back from those games because of what some people consider disappointment, despite the fact they made the playoffs and won a playoff game, at least early on, the NFL said, no, we'd love to have the Texans on TV. So Stroud versus Stafford, Stroud versus Baker, and then Stroud versus Lawrence.
What a murderer's row to start the year. And I think the Texans probably end up with one less primetime game, or at least standalone. I don't know if the Christmas Day game, like, that basically is primetime to me. Like, if you're the only game on at that time, like, that's a primetime game. That's the NFL. I don't care. I think they have less, and I think they definitely don't have, what was it, three straight weeks? Was it a Sunday night, Thursday night, mm-hmm. Monday night? Like, that cannot happen again.
Yeah, after being given that schedule last year, let's take a break. And we know how, because they were playing on holidays last year, their schedule was condensed later in the year. As a team who the NFL believed a lot of people wanted to see against other good opponents, they had to suffer that fate. let's hope they get a more normal schedule this year, because they didn't really come through it last year very well. So we'd ask for a little less attention if it's going to lead to weird scheduling quirks for them in 2025. We'll get to Key from L.A. before we go. He wants to talk about the Texans' schedule. What's up, Key? Key, you there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm here. Oh, just can't wait. CJ return to L.A., Rams. Can't wait for the game. Can't wait.
Yeah, CJ's going. Yeah, well, appreciate it. Key's is right. CJ's going home. He's a Southern California native, so we'll hear the stories about family being in attendance. I'm sure that'll be the case. And if he has a lot of people at the game, we'll see the C.J. Stroud section just randomly in the crowd, a section of seven Stroud jerseys, so that'll be part of the broadcast. Yeah.
When he throws his first touchdown, I'm sure that you'll get the cutaway to them. When he throws his seventh and eighth touchdown to break an NFL record, I think that you'll also get the cutaway to his family.
I don't know about that. They may have to be sequestered because the Rams, there won't be enough Rams fans to get angry at them, to be fair. They're not that passionate. But if he's throwing seven or eight touchdowns, I don't know if anyone will be conscious because of how excited they'll be if that happens. I'm sure that's
to me, that's the bar.
Seven or eight. You do have a Jake Myers bar. Now the CJ Stroud bar is throw eight touchdown passes in week one.
Yeah.
That's more the Nick Cayley bar.
That's true.
Your
that's
offense true. Better score eight touchdowns that's in week true. One. Or you're trash.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. Either way, we're getting leaks. We know the Texans' first three games. We'll see how the rest of the schedule plays out. All right, we're done for the day. Paul Gallant is up next. He is followed by the Killer Bees. We're going to be out, and by we, I mean John Lance and I at Texas Card House. That's right up there in Westheimer. It's not that far away from the station, so we'll do that. So if you like cards, maybe join John. I don't know if he's going to play right after 10 o'clock, but I wouldn't put it past him. So we'll be out there having a good time. It's going to be our first time out there, so that'll be fun. So we'll do that tomorrow. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
I don't know if I have to provide context for that every time you play it going forward.
I don't think you do.
All right. Maybe we'll hear that tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.